Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The sun rose, the sun set. Hold on. Breaking news here on Wretched Radio. Oh, this is indeed very big. I'm sorry, but the sun is not going to rise tomorrow, nor is it going to set. You may want to start looking out for a black hole in the universe because it's ready to go. How do I know this?
How do
breaking
you know
news?
This?
Thank you for asking, because something is bigger than God. Don't know if you heard the breaking news story, but Josh Harris has decided to kiss nothing goodbye. Why? Because, well, he was never a believer in the first place, but he has decided to recant his Christian faith, which means the universe is done. Josh Harris is the first man to be bigger, stronger, and more powerful than the God who says, "He who began a good work in you is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness." Not going to happen anymore. Josh was the one who was able to get out of his salvation. Don't you see? The intercessory work of Jesus Christ failed because of Josh Harris denouncing his faith. The intercessory work of the Holy Spirit, not strong enough for Josh Harris. The Holy Spirit, who is the seal of our salvation, it was broken by Josh Harris, who lost his faith. And if you believe that, then the universe is not going to continue to run on schedule. The seasons won't change. And this whole place is going to go kafritz. If man is more powerful than God. Don't know if you've heard the news. Josh Harris, he kissed dating goodbye when he was 12, something like that. And a very popular evangelical. However, he kind of ducked out of the limelight to go up to Regent's College in Canada. He recently announced that he and his wife were separating. Best of friends, of course. You know how that is. Best friends getting divorced like that. And now, claiming he's all done believing in Jesus Christ, here is the announcement. Let's read it, let's understand it, and let's make sure that we do not get rocked by the announcement by Josh Harris, as many people are. Josh Harris, if he is announcing that he is no longer saved, it simply means he wasn't saved in the first place. If he is no longer a professor of the faith, he was never a possessor of the faith. This is nothing to cause you panic. This is something that Jesus warned about repeatedly, regularly. Is there an epistle that doesn't address the subject of false conversions? Jesus was on about this regularly. Teachers who would apostatize, meaning that those who went out from us were never among us to begin with. Josh Harris, he may have acted the part, but he never was in the faith genuinely. Nevertheless, here's the announcement just in case you missed it. My heart is full of gratitude. I'm learning that no group has the market cornered on grace. This week, I've received grace from Christians, atheists, evangelicals, ex-evangelicals, straight people, LGBTQ people, and everyone in between. There have been some strong words. The information that was left out of our announcement is that I've undergone a massive shift in regard to my faith in Jesus. The popular phrase for this is deconstruction. Well, that might be a popular phrase in secular circles and in postmodern discussions, but not in Christianity. The biblical phrase is falling away. He was never a part of us to begin with. Nevertheless, by all the measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I'm not a Christian. That's heartbreaking. Many people tell me there is a different way to practice faith, and I want to remain open to this, but I'm not there now. Martin Luther said the entire life of the believer should be repentance. And so he goes on to state, I've been trying to repent, but I specifically want to add to my list to the LGBTQ plus community. I want to say that I'm sorry for the views that I taught in my books as a pastor regarding sexuality. I regret standing against marriage equality for not affirming you and your place in the church, and for any ways that my writing and speaking contributed to a culture of exclusion and bigotry. I hope you can forgive me. To my Christian friends, don't worry about it. I'm happy. I'm hopeful. But I'm out. Josh Harris. What can we learn from this announcement? I'm not sure we're going to learn anything new, but I think we should be affirmed in what we better already know, or an announcement like this will wobble you, it will rock you, it will shake you to the core. God didn't lose Josh Harris. Josh was not strong enough to snatch himself from the Savior's hand. He could not have been saved. If he were saved and he is no longer a part of the fellowship of believers, then he's stronger than the God who promises, I got you. Let's begin in the book of Romans, shall we? Romans chapter 1. This is a quick ascent up Mount Everest, because that's what the book of Romans is. If the Bible is a mountain range, Mount Everest is the book of Romans. And we're going to climb to the zenith, which I think is found in chapter 8. But we begin our ascent in Romans chapter 1 in the greeting. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. What does that have to do with Josh Harris? Paul starts off this gem of a book by stating, God promised salvation through Jesus Christ long ago, announced it through the prophets, and he delivered, didn't he? You can trust that what God promised in the past, he will bring to completion. Please turn now in your Bibles from Romans chapter 1 to Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, shall we? Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him, is verse 9. Having now been justified in the past, God declared you justified. It's done. God declared it in eternity. He didn't declare you justified when you were born again. He declared you justified before eternity began. That's when your salvation was completed. Is it ongoing? Of course, but it began in eternity past. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You were reconciled, therefore you're going to be saved. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. You have eternal life, not conditional life. If Josh is demonstrating that somehow there's a condition, it means he never had eternal life. You can't get yourself in. You can't get yourself out either. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of death, certainly also we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. You were saved. It was completed. God brought it to pass. He is going to complete it. And Josh Harris cannot stop God's work. Neither can you. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You can't be condemned. Oh, God declares you uncondemned. Oh, Josh wriggled out of it. Now he's condemned again. No. Not going to happen. Josh couldn't lose his faith, neither can you. Verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Aorist, it was that's an active voice. It's active also. Aorist, active. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Those whom he predestined, aorist, these he also called, aorist, whom he called, these he also justified. Those whom he justified, these he also glorified. Not only were you saved in eternity past, you were glorified. You're going to be glorified, but you already were. You're not going to get yourself unglorified. As it is written, this is, oh, let's do verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his son delivered him up for us all. How shall we not with him freely, how will he not give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Josh Harris? Mm-mm. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and who has risen. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Josh? No. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. Verse 38, for I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels or principalities, powers nor things present nor things to come, height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that includes Josh Harris does not have the ability to separate himself from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, which means if he is no longer professing to be a believer, he never was a believer. Do not let Josh's announcement rock your faith. If you are in Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Not now, not ever. This is Wretched Radio. Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
That young woman come in, 18, with a boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took him back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Thank you much for joining us today. Glad you've been part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. And thanks to our gospel partners, the folks who make all this magic happen. Radio, TV, the interweb, all the great resources. Thank you very much. You are deeply appreciated. And if you're wondering, hey, they already have gospel partners. Why is he about to ask me to be a gospel partner? Easy. The more you give, the more we can give away. Go to wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a gospel partner. All your donations are tax deductible, and your faithful and consistent support will help us reach millions of people around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wretched.org/donate. And no, we won't be buying any jet planes with your money, because as it stands, 83% of every dollar you give goes straight into ministry work here at Wretched. Become a gospel partner. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
My special guest today is Dr. John MacArthur. Sir, what is the issue with the Masters Academy International?
The issue with TMAI is very simple. Biblical training. Training men to be the kinds of pastors that are defined and described in the New Testament.
Fascinating, sir, but there are so many ministries who encourage us to do acts of charity internationally.
I mean, it's fine to support philanthropy or some feeding of poor people or caring for children that have needs. But at the end of the day, the impact on a nation has to come from the pastors and leaders. So investing in that is making the maximum investment for the maximum impact.
Thank you, Dr. MacArthur. We're all out of time, or I'd love to ask you more questions. If you would like to support the mission of the Masters Academy International, training indigenous pastors to be biblical expositors, changing nations, you can do that at wretched.org/pastor.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is Proverbs right again? Well, it is, but that was kind of rhetorical. This is Wretched Radio. What is the first warning of a pop to his son? Of all of the advice that a father gives to a son in the book of Proverbs, what is loaded first in the barrel? Choose your friends wisely, grasshopper. Of all the advice that a father could give to his son, why would he suggest you better watch your friends? And maybe, just maybe, the answer is found in Josh Harris. The big breaking news over the weekend started, I think, at the end of the week. Josh Harris declaring, "I'm no longer a Christian." The Bible tells us he never was a believer. Nevertheless, announcing, I'm not self-deceived anymore, basically. So that, I kiss self-deception goodbye. That's what it should be. He didn't kiss heaven goodbye. He never had it. He didn't kiss Christ goodbye. He was never a disciple. He was like Judas. And believe me, a disciple can look, a false convert can look like a disciple, just like Judas did. The disciples, when Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me," 11 didn't point their bony fingers at Judas and go, "It's him." He slipped right through, the treasurer. He was taking care of the money. He was trusted, and yet he was not a genuine believer. And this can be true, and this is why this, look, this can be scary, I grant you. You'll know you're saved when you get taken to heaven. Now, you should have assurance that you are saved, but ultimately, if you persevere, that is the demonstration of salvific faith. Ultimately, there are many others, but the ultimate is you persevere, you endure to the end. Josh didn't, therefore he never was. And so this should not rock your boat. This should not scare you. Now, it should be a warning to take heed lest we too shall fall. We want to shore things up. We want to make sure that we are in a church. We want to make sure that we're participating in the means of grace. And we want to make sure that we've got good friends. Why did Pop warn his son? Look out who you select as friends, son, because they can trip you up big time. And I wonder if, I don't know definitively, and we want to be very careful with speculation because I don't know that it's very helpful regarding Josh Harris to speculate when we don't have much knowledge. Nevertheless, I think that there's a lesson to be learned here. I don't think this is gossipy speculation or idle speculation. He announced that he's no longer a Christian. Well, I decided to go look at his website, see what he's up to. And he said that he's going into helping people learn how to write better. And he's a big fan of somebody he's considered one of his besties for years. And he is actually a part of this friend's training system to help people write better and market themselves better. Do you know who Josh Harris's good buddy is? Gentlemen, would you like to take a guess who Josh Harris has been hobnobbing with for, it seems, many, many years?
Dr. Phil.
I was going to go with like Stephen King, who's a known author who would also help people write.
Yeah, well, think Christian author. Think somebody who wrote really bad books. They were well written, just theologically
so
wonky.
So if I say Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye, I might raise some ire.
Well, that's an eschatological difference. This is bad theology.
No, they were badly written too.
I'm not talking about a disagreement on something like end times issues. I'm talking about some really bad deceptive stuff that has led a lot of people astray.
Mark,
I'm just going to do the on hold music for you,
Driscoll,
while you think.
Are you going to say yes, or am I done guessing it?
I'm giving you a hint. Okay. What type of music am I?
I don't know what that was.
Sounded
what
like
else
Sanford
could it be
and Son.
Then? Jazz. If you don't know what it is, it has to be jazz.
Oh, Donald
it's like
Miller.
Everybody. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Blue Like.
Donald Miller, Blue Like Jazz. Apparently, they've been friends for many, many years. If you're not familiar with Donald Miller, in 2003, he wrote a seminal book called Blue Like Jazz. It was his bestseller. I believe it sold over 1 million copies. And it was basically a new way of looking at Christianity through a different filter. It was
apologizing
years.
Apologizing for everything, that makes Christians Christian.
And so it was a book that caused many of us to go, uh-oh. In 2014 or 15, Donald Miller announced, you know, I really don't go to church much, if at all. I go to church in nature. There's a lot of ways to do church. And a lot of people went, uh-oh. The man who wrote Blue Like Jazz has basically been following it to its natural end, and that is walking away from the faith. And it appears that that's what Donald Miller has done. I don't think that he would call himself a Christian in the exclusive sense. He might say, well, yeah, I dig Christianity. It's blue like jazz. But I don't think that he would call himself an Orthodox Christian believer with the exclusivity of Jesus Christ as the centerpiece of his faith. And he and Josh Harris have been friends for years. How close? I don't know, but Josh has certainly signed up for his marketing program. Donald Miller is big into marketing these days. That's how he's making a living. He's helping people sell their stuff. Nothing wrong with that. And apparently he's got some sort of a program where you can learn to be blue like jazz too. And Josh Harris is one of his certified trainees for his marketing program. And he claimed on his website that he and Donald Miller have been best buds for years. Son, watch out who your friends are. Now, would I blame Josh Harris's apostasy on Donald Miller? No, but I don't think it could have possibly helped now, could it? What should you do if you find yourself doubting? What should you do if you find yourself in a dry season? Might I suggest to you, you surround yourself with good friends, with Bible-believing friends. Don't go looking and sniffing. Don't go start hanging out in circles where they are just going to do nothing but water things down or lead you astray or cause you to say, hey, it's the best decision I've ever made and you got to give it a go. Watch out with whom you surround yourself when you are wobbly-kneed or not. Furthermore, don't forget that doubt is not disbelief. Doubt is not the same camp or category. Doubt is a sin. You don't want any of it. But Thomas doubted. Peter, he wobbled all over the place. But that doesn't mean that you disbelieve. Disbelief is stating, I'm not in. You can even know those things are true. That's worse. I think that could be the sin against the Holy Spirit. You actually know those things to be true and you deny them anyway. But don't be deceived and don't be worried if you have some sort of thought or you're starting to ponder in your brain, okay, well, that's different than what Josh Harris has done and what Donald Miller appears to have done. Don't let that knock you out of the arena. What else should you do? Might I suggest you do the very thing that we should all be doing all the time, and that is to be partaking in the means of grace. Go to church, read your Bible, listen to godly sermons, pray, take the Lord's Supper, watch baptisms, be involved in a fellowship where you talk about Jesus as the centerpiece of your life. And that's what will feed you, and that's what will sustain you, and that's what will strengthen your wobbly knees. Now, note this also. If we're going to be consistent with our theology, let's say you do have wobbly knees at the moment. If you are his, your knees are not going to bend, break, and give out on you. He'll strengthen them, or at least keep them strong enough for you to endure. Don't forget, the Bible is consistent with this. When God saves, he keeps. If salvation is conditional, it is not eternal. And the last time I checked, we were promised eternal life, not conditional life. And so don't think that you can somehow blow it and that you're doing these things to somehow make you not lose your faith. Now, look, even a false convert can do all of these things and will ultimately reveal that he is not amongst the fold. Or it will be revealed when Jesus says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. This is not something that should cause you to give up on the faith, but it is indeed something that should cause each and every one of us to go, gulp. It is also something that should cause us to examine ourselves, not constantly, but on occasion to see if we are in the faith. Furthermore, Phil Johnson commented, we've got to watch out who we give the mantle of leader and author and pastor to. Josh Harris, very, very young when he was made an evangelical celebrity, and there's a reason for it. Read Paul's words to Timothy, that if you put somebody into that position, they can get puffed up and fall away. Let's be careful. Just because a young man happens to be very gifted and can write well and maybe even has a good message, let's take the advice of the Bible and protect them and protect the church from another one who professes to be a Christian but ends up revealing that they were never a possessor of the Christian faith in the first place. Do not let Josh cause your knees to buckle. Let Josh cause your knees to get strengthened by participating in the means of grace. This is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Psalms is a collection of divinely inspired songs of praise for every season in life. There are songs of lament, thanksgiving, praise, celebration, and remembrance of God's mighty deeds. All to help us find our soul's delight in God in all circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is there a crack in the pro-life movement? This is Wretched Radio. That was the question that was asked by the Wall Street Journal. Anti-abortion movement. Isn't it funny how they don't honor the words that we'd like to use to describe us? We prefer pro-life, not anti-abortion. But I'm okay with it, frankly. Anti-abortion movement begins to crack after decades of unity, claiming a new wing of movement aims to challenge Roe v. Wade directly. There is indeed a movement afoot to try to create state legislation like they have done in seven states, Kentucky, Georgia, Mississippi, Missouri, Alabama, Louisiana, and Ohio. The thought is, let's create just the right legislation on the state level. It can be brought then in a challenge to the Supreme Court, and that will be the legislation that can help overturn Roe v. Wade. That is the hope. And there are people who are pushing just for that. And frankly, we all are ultimately, aren't we? There's just a difference in approach. There are people who are incrementalists. They are willing to take whatever legislation they can get along the way. There's another group of folks who are saying, no, you got to abolish this thing and do it now. And any sort of legislation that is incremental is not acceptable, and we won't even vote for it or support it in any way, shape, or form because it doesn't abolish abortion. Now, here's what I think both camps share in common. Don't we all want it to be done away with? In the meantime, not that I jump for joy that there are any abortions going on, but the legislation that saves lives, I think the babies that didn't get aborted because of it are going to be plenty happy with it. And I don't think it compromises or undermines the pro-life message. Having said that, I appreciate the desire of the abolitionists to get rid of it. We all want that. Now, Wall Street Journal, I think, positioning it to make it look like there's a fracture, but indeed stating there's some momentum being gained to push for abolition of abortion in this country. Does that mean a crack or a split in the pro-life movement? Well, I sure hope not. The more traditional wing of anti-abortion groups say the bigger ambitions bring bigger risks. So by trying to shoot for Roe v. Wade being overturned, look out. The Supreme Court could reinforce its Roe v. Wade principles by leaving lower court rulings against heartbeat bills in place, stalling momentum toward greater restrictions. And if the court took a case, it could reaffirm Roe v. Wade, as it did in the early 90s, and even reinterpret the right to abortion more broadly under the Constitution. So here's the worry, that if there's some sort of legislation promoted, or a case that goes to the Supreme Court, rather, that would shoot for abolishing abortion, the Supreme Court might go, nope, we reaffirm Roe v. Wade. And all the state legislation where we've been seeing many, many victories, state that I'm sitting in has had a huge victory, and a governor who had the courage to withstand the attacks from Hollywood and say, sorry, once the heart starts beating, we're not going to take the life of a child. Now, I don't agree with the heartbeat making a child a child. God makes a child at conception. Nevertheless, the concern is if one of these state legislations goes to court, the Supreme Court might actually start striking down or make a ruling that would strike down state advances. That's the concern of the traditionalists. Activists are currently focused on Michigan, where conflicting sides are vying to enact two different bills. A coalition of evangelical and Republican activists. Sorry. It's not that I need water. That just gets stuck. We're not politicians. We're evangelicals. Trying to collect hundreds of thousands of voter signatures to help enact a heartbeat bill. If successful, the petition would petition drive would enable Republican lawmakers to enact it without the signature of the Democratic governor who opposes it. Right to Life of Michigan, a traditional group, has refused to help with the drive. A lobbyist said passing a heartbeat ban could put at risk a Michigan abortion prohibition dating back to the 1800s. The old law is still on the books, but not enforced. Even stronger, criminalizing all abortions, and would come back into effect if Roe were overturned, the group said. So here's what we've got in all of this. You've got all believers who want to put an end to Roe v. Wade. You've got two different approaches right now. You've got the incrementalists who are trying to be like, well, let's, some people to varying degrees inside of that camp, kind of jockeying to try to figure out the best way to keep everything in place and maybe make some gains. Another group is saying, none of it. We want it gone. How is this going to turn out? And the answer is, I have no idea. But can we at least agree, whether you're an abolitionist or you're an incrementalist, can we please agree that we contain or that we maintain unity no matter how this thing plays out? Can we do that? Because remember, this isn't about politics. This is about Christianity. This is about the gospel. This is about the unity that we have in Christ, and that we are on the same team, but simply with different approaches to how we would like to see this come to an end. Now, for the quote du jour, Tony, what is the quote du jour anyway?
I believe it's the quote of the day, Todd.
I think I'll have that. Feminist Sophie Lewis. She's got a new book, Full Surrogacy. Now, Feminism Against Family. That sounds warm. I wonder if we could think about defending abortion as a right to stop doing gestational work. Did you hear this, Lulu? This is just rich. There have been so many forward movements in the pro-life argument that it is increasingly difficult for pro-choicers to say, it's not a human being. Increasingly, they know it. Now they're trying to come up with a different way to skate away from the responsibility of carrying the baby to term. She writes, abortion is, in my opinion, and I recognize how controversial this is, a form of killing. Well, there you have it. But it is a form of killing we need to be able to defend. Wow. So what is her defense for killing a human being? Basically, you're picketing is what you're doing. Motherhood is a union gig, and you're just going to stop working because it's work. No, I'm not kidding. Looking at the biology helps me think about the violence that a fetus metes out on the woman. And the violence is an unacceptable violence for someone who doesn't want to do gestational work. Well, you laugh or you weep. The violence that the gestator metes out to essentially go on strike or exit that workplace is an acceptable violence. Well, that's really scary if you happen to be a manager or a boss, because apparently if we just play that logic out into the workplace, if you don't like where you work, you can kill your boss. That's basically what she's concluded here. How bonkers is that? STR broke it down. According to this feminist, an unborn child created by his mother and father through an act designed to create new human beings. is committing violence against his mother merely by being right where he's meant to be, growing inside of her. Not because something went wrong, but because his parents' reproductive systems were working exactly the way that they're supposed to work. Exiting the workplace is not the justification for abortion. Look, the world's gone bonkers, right? The world has always been bonkers, and we're all bonkers to varying degrees. It's the noetic effect of the fall. But without the restraints of Christianity, without the restraints of shame, without the social norms that keep people kind of bumping along the curbs a little bit, you just get zany. This exiting the workplace is justification for abortion? STR, it's simply not a good analogy. Firstly, because we don't allow employees to kill their employers as a solution to undesired working conditions. And second, parent-child relationship is not analogous to an employer-employee relationship. It is unique and carries unique obligations. Oh, that word. Finally, we don't allow parents to kill their children simply because they don't want the work of parenthood. On the contrary, parents, not random strangers, are bound by law to protect and nurture their children. The biology, it's now undeniable. And so we've got people moving away from saying it's not a human. It's not a human, to trying to come up with ways to actually kill, admit it, and kill the child. Phew, duh. At least the pro-life argument has won in that regard. It's won the day. We all admit it. It's a human being. Now listen for more and more. This is akin to the violin argument. If you've never seen or heard that, just research it. It's also fallacious from beginning to end. And so is this one. But be listening more and more ways that the anti-life people will try to persuade you, sure, it's violence, but it's justifiable and acceptable. And what do we say to that? Not according to God. And science supports what God clearly commands. This is Wretched Radio. Please, would you please consider sending as many Bibles as you can through Bible League International to the persecuted church?
Aria was raised in a strict Muslim family. A woman invited her to a Bible study. She accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. She took her Arabic New Testament home. She hid it. Her mother was rummaging through the house, found this, gave it to her father. He called the authorities to report her as an infidel. They tortured her, did the same thing to the Christian friend. These two women have been instrumental through their suffering to lead about 50 people to Christ.
And they would love a Bible. Would you please consider sending as many as you are able to through Bible League International? $5 for a Bible to a persecuted Christian. Perhaps 6 per month? Wretched.org/Bible, Wretched.org/Bible.
Wretched is going to prison. Well, Wretched Resources are going to prison, and we need your help. Our gospel booklet resources, Don't Stub Your Toe, What Time is Purple, and Rotten Fish, are going to be given away for free to prison ministries to distribute to inmates. That's where you come in. We can't do this without our gospel partners. See, the more you give, the more we are able to give away. Without your generous support, we wouldn't be able to give away these resources for free to prison ministries. So if you're interested in supporting Wretched, please visit wretched.org/donate and become a gospel partner today. Wretched.org/donate. Now, if you're a prison ministry interested in distributing Wretched resources to inmates, please contact jen@wretched.org. That's J-E-N, jen@wretched.org. Let's get the gospel into prison. Visit wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate.
If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsène, just 5 years old. He escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother could not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandmother used to live to the church. And that's where the tomorrow clock meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Rome lived from AD 30 to 100, was a student of the Apostle Peter, and served as the Bishop of Rome. He wrote a letter to the troubled church in Corinth, warning against envy and immorality, emphasizing humility and repentance. His letter continued to be read during worship services for 80 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And here we go.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. It is time. Oh, this is going to be a good one. One of America's fastest growing game sensations. Which quote is quotier? That's pretty much what I came up with on the fly. That's right. Which quote is quotier?
Hang
the
on,
Tim Chelly's edition. Yeah, you put that. You didn't know that quote could be in the comparative form now, did you? I have got two articles, both very quotable, both from Tim Chelly's. So the winner is either going to be Tim Chelly's
or
Tim Chelly's. You determine which one brings it home for Tim Chelly's.
Trying to figure out how to spell quotier.
Make some return to your parents. That is article two. And this is not your grandparents' church. That's article number one. He wrote this just a few weeks ago. This is rather pithy for the Canadian who tends to be, well, he tends to have more of a velvet glove. This one is more like bare knuckles. This is not your grandparents' church. You remember that slogan. It was pretty popular, still is. I noticed I was reading something somewhere, someplace.
Somehow.
Actually, I think where I was reading it was right before I almost got selected for jury duty. Don't worry, I'm fine. I
Dude,
skated away.
There was
away.
No possible way they
unscathed.
Were picking
you. Believe me, the things that I was preparing. If they did, I think it was going to be an insurance case. Okay, so Tony, you're one of the attorneys for one of the sides, and you want to ask me a question about insurance to see if you want me on your jury. Go ahead.
All right, so how do you feel about insurance companies as a whole taking care of their business?
You know, the book of Revelation talks about the mark of the beast.
He's gone.
I'm not suggesting that it's Allstate or State Farm or American Family or what are the other big ones, that Geico or whoever this might be about. But I'm just saying, if you read the book of Revelation, it could be at least... There's a fair amount of End Times Ministries that could probably get Revelation to say that. So I don't think I'm on that thin of ice. Nevertheless, I was reading an article someplace about this is not your grandparents' investor. And because apparently people who are older can't understand millennial living, what it's like to be a Gen Z, so they don't understand how to put together some sort of financial plan for them. So it's young people giving financial advice. And they use the slogan, "This isn't your grandparents' investor." I think maybe it was a New York Times, Wall Street, or whatever it was. Well, it was big in the church. What was the message? Tim Chelly's writing. The slogan and the very model of church made something very clear. The elderly are not welcome here. I had never thought about that. Apparently, you need to move north of the border to come up with conclusion. That's... This isn't your grandparents' church, so we're going to play some music from the 80s. Come on to Duran Duran Sunday. And it's just...
It's all hair bands and, you know, rock and roll, not that new wave stuff.
Sweet Home Alabama is apparently what they like playing at national conventions. Nevertheless, what this message is, the elderly are not, well, this isn't your grandparents' church, so grandparents, don't bother showing up. We aren't doing this for you. In fact, it almost feels like we have a disdain for you. If it's not your grandparents' church, it's not very likely to welcome your grandparents, is it? It is defined in opposition to what's dear to them. In fact, it's going to abandon the hymns they love, crank the music to levels they hate, drop the lights so they cannot see, and scratch ministry to the elderly in favor of ministry to the youth. We have not yet gotten to the quote du jour. He's just getting warmed up. The not your grandparents' churches have proven themselves fatally flawed. As Christians grapple with the fallout from the empty claims of the attractional model of church, it becomes clear churches without grandparents are just as sick as churches with only grandparents. Hold on. He hasn't gotten to the kaboom yet.
What?
Because these churches were founded on a model that explicitly rejected many of the people nearest and dearest to God. After all, it's gray hair, not a man bun, that God declares a crown of glory.
Chop, chop.
Tim, what was in the Canadian water?
Lively.
We are to rise in the presence of the aged and the wise, not the young and hip. It's the weak who are most worthy of special welcome, not the strong. It's the helpless who most merit our attention, not the affluent. So here's the irony. By driving away the elderly because they didn't have any young people in the church, they've got the reverse problem. Now you've got all youth and no older people. They traded one bad situation for the other. Church is a place for all ages, not segregation. And so what have we lost by saying this isn't your grandparents' church? Well, let's see. We've lost saints who are grounded to a former age. We've kicked away saints to say, you know what, we don't want your continuity. We don't want to see any of God's faithfulness in people who have persevered for decades. We don't want you to hold us together by being wise counsel. We don't want you to be praying for us. We're just going to do church, man. That was quote number one. This is quote number two from Tim Challies. Make some return to your parents. This might be kind of tough for you to listen to. Now, please note how you deal with your parents, and Tim gets to this. How you deal with your aged parents depends on the situation. Nevertheless, Tim, talking about chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. I know the circumstances are wild and varied. Nevertheless, what is pleasing to God is if you can take care of your parents, he's saying you should learn how to do that. The return he talks about here is essentially the repayment of a debt. Here comes the quote. What have your parents done that you ought to be willing to repay? Tony, I am going to warn you in advance. No tittering. No snickering, no ha-haing.
I make no promises.
First and most obviously, your parents gave you the gift of life. Mm-hmm. They brought you into this world in which you could love God and be loved by God. And then, from the moment of conception, they cared for you. Your mother endured sickness, ate carefully, took massive vitamins, stopped drinking coffee. All so she would give you a safe environment in which to develop. From the day of your birth, your parents took care of your every need and every expense. They fed you, comforted you, and changed your diaper more than 6,000 times. I never did the math on that, but
never
I'm glad
wanted
Tim
to.
Did.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you, I know that there's a lot of people who just, they've got an issue with changing diapers. I didn't hate it. Okay, yes, there were times when my wife and I would play rock, paper, scissors. It's not like, yippee, I get to change another big, messy one. But doing it, though, nevertheless, while it could be awfully foul in that little bucket that somebody... You want to make $1 million? There's your chance right there. Create a new diaper genie that somehow keeps the smell from wafting out. You got yourself a $1 million idea right there. I didn't hate it. Such a sweet time. And by the way, if you're in that time in that season and you are somehow resenting it, you better savor it, because I'm telling you, zip, zip, Rose. It is gone. You can be thankful to your parents. They changed your diaper 6,000 times. They clothed you, educated you, and let you learn to drive in their car. And what did you do for them in return? Not much. You cried a lot, woke them up at night, spilled stuff, dented their car along the way. You probably complained about all the things they hadn't given to you. If you were raised in a Christian home, you've got even more to be grateful for, since your parents introduced you to the Bible, took you to church, and told you the gospel, spending endless hours in prayer seeking God's favor on your behalf. That is what your parents did for you. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4. Learn to make some return to your parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. Pithy quote from Tim Challies. God doesn't give you time and money so you can carry out your own will, but so you can carry out His. Ouch. Those would be our two quote du jours. We'll see who the winner is in a moment. Please remember, if you've got parents, there is a time when assisted care, it is appropriate. That's not what Tim is saying. There are issues that need to be thoughtfully considered. But having said that, if you've got the means and you've got the ability and it is something that you could manage, why wouldn't you learn to repay your parents for that? Tony, who is the winner? Tim Challies or Tim Challies?
Well, first I was going to go with Tim Challies, but on the second thought, I decided instead? Tim Challies.
We have a winner here. The winner is of the, what was this called? The Which Quote is Quotier.
Which is Quotier.
Tim Challies is.
Timing.
Make some return to your parents and invite your grandparents back to church. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.